Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
How the hell is everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd back from yet another hiatus. That's right. The number one chair shop villain, the best part-timer in the network, decided to grace you with his presence today on the Four Corners podcast. I got to be a villain about it. I can't just, you know, pat myself on the back. I got to be a bad guy. But you're here on the Four Corners podcast expecting to hear myself and David Ungar. And in a twist that would make M. Night Shyamalan jealous, there is no David Ungar here today. No. I am joined by Mr. Saturday Night, the executive vice president of talent relations here at the Chairshot Radio Network and chief executive officer of Wednesday programming when Greg DeMarco
talk about the real part-timer of the Chairshot is Greg DeMarco.
That's the part-timer duo right there. But yeah, that voice you hear is PC Tunney, my NL Central rival, enjoying a tough Milwaukee Brewers team after a little bit of a rough start for you guys. You guys kind of brought it around. I'm also, you know, as I think of monikers for myself, the worst wrestling prognosticator outside of WrestleMania.
No.
Like, I came out gangbusters, yeah. And then and I'll fully admit, once WrestleMania season passes, I don't watch as much wrestling. Like, I just don't. And Netflix has actually made it harder for me to watch wrestling because it's always there. And I take it for granted. I ask, whatever. Yeah, I'll get to it. At least when it was in my DVR, and I was like, yeah, watch this, and this.
I mean, you're third out of 11 heading in, so.
But, you know, when you have a back-to-back stint where you go, what, 2-10, 2-11, something like that? It's pretty bad.
I'm trying to find the other one.
Right, because I was 0-for. I was 0-for in the previous show. I was 0-for. I remember that distinctly.
You just had a bad Money in the Bank, and it was only 4 matches. So other than that, right. I think you're doing okay. You'll be in the middle of the pack.
My big thing that was frustrating. Yeah, we're going to talk a little wrestling to kick this off, because it's sports adjacent. Hell, CBS Sports has an article at every pre-PLE where they talk about matches and stuff. So you can bet on this shit on all your sports books. So whatever. I do think that one of the things that ultimately won, there were a couple of picks I made where I should have known better. Like, I just hate Solo Sikoa so much and don't understand what the company sees in that guy. And
listen, that is like the whatever. One pick that myself I got wrong this past PLE, and it's the one pick the chair shot got wrong. And you talk about betting on this stuff, Patrick, don't go to CBS's website for the preview. Go to thechairshot.com and read the chair shot staff picks. Be entertained by the 11 personalities that are making their picks, and then maybe decide to actually look at what the total chair shot pick is, because I want to tell you folks something. WrestleMania, Backlash, Money in the Bank, and now Night of Champions. The chair shot pick is 22-6, Patrick. 22-6. That's pretty good. That's really good.
And that's with me the last two PLEs bringing the numbers down. So look at that. Here's what's funny, though. I low-key watch some of the shittiest wrestling on television. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this on the DeMarco show. I love the trash that is WOW Women of Wrestling.
I've heard you talk about that. Are you that much of a sadist that you want to watch AEW too?
I don't watch AEW. I do. Here's the fun. I also like today, literally today before we started recording, I caught up on Impact, because I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Impact. And while it's by no means, you know, the level of production, it knows what it is as a company, and it knows what it is in terms of like what they're putting out there in their shows. But they have little things in the Impact programming that I just kind of like, even though it doesn't make a difference in the storylines or angles at all. Like, they do an injury report segment every Impact that is like treated very legitimately, where they show somebody, like, and sometimes it's legitimate injuries, sometimes it's kayfabe injuries, like they work them both into the program. But it's like, that's a weird little, like, that gives you a feeling of authenticity that you just don't see on other programs, and I think is fun and small.
It's a key nuance.
They also
there,
just,
you know, I mean, you're right. Talking about what Andrew Belaz covers for us too. So we have some of the best TNA coverage in the world on our website as well.
Right. So if you haven't figured it out yet, this podcast is a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we would like to remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And it was, we're going to actually get into the meat and bones of the show today. We got a couple of championships to talk about. Previous episode, we didn't do a show last week. I just, like, schedules being what they were, I was bowling for dollars that I did not win. I won a gift basket, like in a raffle. So I had that going for me.
What was in the gift basket?
It was a coffee gift. So it was one of those raffles where you got like a bunch of tickets and you threw your tickets into like different trays or whatever. And so I chose this coffee gift basket that had two bags of coffee, had a homebrew coffee maker, coffee grinder, and one of those little wand thingies that you can use to make foam if you're one of those people that likes to make like lattes with the milk and stuff. So yeah, one of those dealies. I'm putting most of the gadgetry up for others to take, because at the end of the day, I don't do cold brew at all. And that thing got unloaded quickly. Like, a coworker of mine,
it's very popular.
He
right
took
now.
That. Right. I have a coffee grinder myself, but this one is like old school, like hand grinder, and I'm like, I ain't got time for that. I got a little push button deal. It takes care of it for me. Thanks for playing. And then I've never once, like, this is probably going to come as no surprise to you or the listeners. I'm a dark roast black coffee dude. Like, I grew up in farmland, middle America, man. We don't put shit in our coffee. It's black and it's hot, just like my men.
Whatever your preference is, good for you. I like to put cream and sugar in mine. I'm sorry, I don't care. I'm one creamer, one sugar, and I only drink like hot coffee when I go out to breakfast. So that's what, twice a week, right?
Right.
But during the week,
Sunday morning while you're watching the trailers for Bandwagon Nerds, you're sipping your coffee.
It happened today. Shout out to Open Flame. A good, nice minced ham and cheese eggs with some really well done potatoes. But during the week, though, I do like a colder form of coffee. Monster, their Loco Mocha, is an excellent energy coffee drink in the morning.
I'm the dude who goes to the gas station and goes up to the giant metal tin, a la Dennis Leary. Back, he did a comedy routine about that, and gets my coffee flavored coffee from 7-Eleven. Used to be Speedway, but Speedway got bought by 7-Eleven. Nobody cares about this. What they do care about is so 2 weeks ago, we were heading into game sixes for both the NHL and the NBA Finals. Florida Panthers just getting it done against our sad. I wanted so badly for the Oilers to.
I did too.
To find a way.
I did too.
And you could just tell, and I said this, we'll talk NHL first, and then we'll talk about Oklahoma City after the break. The thing that really stood out to me as I watched that game was, even in the games that Edmonton won, it didn't feel like the better team won, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying that Edmonton was bad, or that, like, it just, Florida always looked to be in control of the game. Even when they gave up goals, and it started with Bobrovsky. That guy, didn't let anything by him. But the forecheck of Florida was unbelievably dominant. And it, especially in that game six when Florida – or did it go seven? No, it only went six.
Six.
That game six, Florida was just living in the Edmonton zone. Like, just living. It was like all day. And it wasn't a matter of if. It was a matter of when they were going to score and how much. And they just didn't stop. And it didn't matter. Like, Skinner caught a lot of shit at goal. And some of it, sure. But when you got a team that can't get the puck out of their own zone and you're just letting Florida take shot after shot after shot, something's going to go in. And ultimately, that was the difference. Is McDavid and Draisaitl just not enough? There's not enough around them to sustain, you know, against a forecheck like that. And to Florida's credit, they tried everything. They had them on the same line together. Didn't work. Split them up. Tried to, like, diversify. Get them on different lines. Didn't matter. It just wasn't there. Florida was the better team. And won. And, you know, just today, as I was looking through the wire, maybe it was yesterday, they got their Conn Smythe winner back, and there seems to be some momentum that they're going to be able to re-sign Brad Marchand if they want to. And I don't know what kind of voodoo magic Florida runs where they give up, you know, unreliable goalies and get value studs to continue their run. But hockey, I think you were the one who pointed this out in a separate chat. The Stanley Cup runs through Florida now. Like, last six, seems like, have been won in the state of Florida between the Panthers, your Lightning.
Four of the last six have been won by those four two teams, six, yeah. But they've been to the last six, have been represented
right, that's
by the
is.
State
yeah,
of
yeah.
Florida. You know, it's funny. You talk about not having enough around McDavid and Draisaitl, and right before this series started, I was on the show with Dave, and I brought up the fact of how many different Edmonton Oilers besides McDavid and Draisaitl had double-digit points already in this hockey playoffs, and Marchand was the only one for Florida. And look at how all those people didn't show up, and Marchand dominated. Florida Panthers...
Dude, I hate that guy so much.
Florida Panthers remind me of playing softball at a high level like I did. We were really good for a long time and we still hadn't won, and we couldn't figure it out until we did figure it out. And then once we did, we were so hard to beat. Like this Florida team, they live in a different mental space. They don't get overexcited when things go good or bad, and they just handle their business. There's no shortcuts with this team. You're not gonna outthink them. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot either, right? That's kind of the winning championship mentality that this team has built now.
Yeah, Brad Marchand, this playoffs, by the way, mastered the art of what we would call in basketball cherry picking, where, like, he just gets down the ice behind the other team while they're all focused this way, and one long pass. He had so many breakaways, and at some point, if you were Edmonton, it's like, get a defenseman back. Like, you gotta have somebody back there waiting, because what all you're doing right now is begging for breakaways, and it just doesn't matter. And I mentioned this. So Florida has already re-signed and extended Sam Bennett, who won the Conn Smythe, to an 8-year, $64 million contract. He did that this past Friday. And currently, Bill Zito, who might arguably be the best general manager in hockey, actively working on deals for Aaron Ekblad and Brad Marchand, the core, two of their best defensive players. And, you know, Ekblad, he's 29. He's still, you know, he's played his entire career with Florida. He was a number one pick in the 2014 draft. He's really, really great, and he's at the top of his game. You know, Marchand's a little bit different. I actually wondered if Marchand wouldn't retire, but why would you, after you have the kind of playoffs that he had? Why not run it back for another year or two? Maybe, you know, he's 37. Hockey players play forever too. It's crazy. Like hockey players like retire when they're 48.
The thing about that too is with having shifts like that, you can just take away shifts or shorten shifts to make sure that a guy that's skilled, Jaromir Jagr, if you have that much skill and you can still move as well as he could enough at the end, you're going to find a way to utilize that player in a positive fashion on the ice.
I agree 100%, and I hate the guy, but I do, but it's because he's not on my team.
Right.
Like there's players like that. Like as a Cardinal baseball fan, I love Yadier Molina. However, I completely understand why so many fans hated Yadier Molina outside of the St. Louis bubble. And if Yadier Molina was a Milwaukee Brewer, I would freaking hate that guy. And Brewer Nation everywhere would be the ones arguing with everybody else that he's a Hall of Famer, as opposed to Cardinal fans arguing with everybody else whether or not Yadi belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I think he is. I think he is too. Unless you had more to add about the Stanley Cup victory from Florida, I got one.
No, I got one
hockey question. We can maybe cover these two things this way at the end of these segments. Is how good is Matt Schaefer going to be, first overall pick from the Islanders? And then you talk about the next two picks, offensive guys. Is it Misa or Misa? Michael Misa?
I think it's Misa.
Misa, yeah. And then Anton Frondell going to the Blackhawks third.
Well, so for the Blackhawks, I'll just say this. They've had a run the last two or three seasons of very, very early draft picks. Number one overall pick, I think, last year, yeah. Connor Bedard.
Yep.
The talent is there. The time is now. It's do they have the right guy to coach them? The thing I loved about I'm gonna forget his name, the Islander pick is Schaefer immediately starts talking shit about the Rangers.
Oh, nice.
And gets into it with the Rangers draft pick, number 43rd selection. And I'm losing it. Spence is the guy's last name. Like immediately back. I heard a lot about the rivalry. I hate losing, so I'm looking forward to going and just beating them every time we play them.
Welcome,
like Spence. That's if you are a New York Islander fan and you haven't had a lot to get excited about, that gives you a little bit of excitement for him as a player. Like that's a guy that's ready to go. He's 17. Or no, Spence is 17. So that also blows my mind. Like that guy's gonna make more money than I ever will in my lifetime at age 17. Fucking lucky bastard. I like it for the Rangers. He's not talked about in the Islanders. He's not talked about in the same way that Bedard was talked about last year. Like, but he's a number one pick for a reason. He's going to be a generation. You know, I don't know if we call him a generational talent, but he'll definitely be a star. And that'll be great. People talk about Connor Bedard, and when you actually see Bedard play, you get why people get so excited for him. The dude does things on the ice, and you're just like, he's so small, and yet he never goes down, and he just gets through everybody. It's so crazy how good he's going to be. It's tough to watch the NHL. I was just NHL draft. I was just happy we had the University of Massachusetts had its first round draft pick since Cale Makar.
Oh wow!
So that was really exciting. Yeah, don't ask me his name. I can't remember it. I got the email from the UMass hockey account that was how he went like 28th or something like that. So it was really good stuff. All right, Florida. If they succeed in re-signing this talent, they're going to be the prohibitive favorite for next year. For Lord Stanley's Cup, right?
I would imagine, wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah.
Unless there's a third Florida hockey team we don't know about.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
If I was a franchise that didn't like the city I was in, I would like, can I move to Florida? I think you got a better chance of going to the Stanley Cup there.
You know what? You mentioned that there are five teams or five cities looking to throw their hat into the ring to possibly be the next NHL team. The latest one was Austin, Texas. I'm trying to find the other four. So four markets are already jockeying for the request. Next NHL expansion franchise, Houston entered the chat. I had a beautiful graphic. New Orleans and Indianapolis were a couple of the other ones. They're, nothing's going to Arizona, but Austin, Texas was the latest one. Hockey in Texas. I don't know. Hockey in Texas. Why not, right? Houston was another one.
Plenty of space in Texas. More rinks, more rink time for kids. There you go.
Yeah. Atlanta, Houston, Indianapolis, and New Orleans. Those are the five that have put in expansion bids, the last one being Austin, Texas. So I personally, as a Midwest guy, Indianapolis, though Indianapolis is just not an exciting city. I think Atlanta has a good argument. They're a city that people can get excited for.
Didn't they have one?
And then Texas is just big.
Didn't Atlanta have the Thrashers?
Indianapolis?
Atlanta. Didn't they have the Thrashers at one point?
Maybe. Sounds right. But that, didn't take. It's also hot Atlanta. So, how do you keep the ice cold? But I'm ching. Cool. All right. Also, other things that came about this week, there was the collective bargaining agreement was agreed upon and ratified by the NHL. One of the interesting tidbits of this, I'm sure it works for whatever scheduling purpose is there. Two more games to the season. It's an interesting arbitrary number to get. I don't know how much more money that yields, but two more regular season games in hockey and a little bit of a change in their preseason scheduling. So
Atlanta was the Thrashers from 99 to 2011 and before moving to Winnipeg once again to become the Jets.
Ah, that's right. The return of the Jets. Everybody was so excited. Chris Jericho in particular.
Yeah.
So didn't happen though. All right. We're going to take our first commercial break. We come back. We're going to talk NBA finals and how much my calf hurts after watching Halliburton blow his out. So stick around for that. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Patrick O'Dowd, special guest PC Tunney, here giving you all of the best news and analysis that we can in all four corners of sports. If you love our hard-hitting analysis and mocking Greg DeMarco talk, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Invest in a ChairShot shirt. We have all kinds of awesome designs out there. Only $20. Coming up on the 4th of July. Pretty sure there's a sale. Don't know what the promo code will be.
America.
It'll be on that main page.
America.
America.
Merc.
With the America with the apostrophe. You got to put the apostrophe
Merc.
In front of America.
M-E-R-C. Merc.
America. Merc. You're a mercenary. We just cut that all down. Anyway, the other surprise, I was surprised we got a game 7 in the NBA Finals between the Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Oklahoma City prevailed relatively comfortably in the second half. The first, they were down a point, I think, at halftime in game 7 and kind of just came out, punched the Pacers in the mouth. They didn't have the depth to keep up, largely because they lost Tyrese Halliburton in what was just a scary-looking Achilles, right? It was his Achilles that popped. He blew his Achilles tendon. He had been dealing with calf issues as it was playing through the injury, knew that there was a risk. you know, I'm never one to judge anything like that. And you just, you know, hats off to a guy playing through an injury. But, man, when that thing went and they showed it in slow motion, you felt it. And I felt for the guy. And I wonder, you know, there's always going to be a question as to, you know, would it have mattered? Who knows? Oklahoma City was so great defensively. That Caruso, dude, speaking of guys that I'm sure every other fan hates because he's not on their team, that dude just gets in everybody's kitchen and takes their basketball away. And Oklahoma City feasted 20-plus turnovers just all over Indianapolis, and they didn't have the horses to handle it.
It's funny you bring up Caruso because Indianapolis has their own version of that guy and TJ McConnell who comes in and does the same kind of thing. I hope Haliburton can come back and be as good as he was this year. That's a really tough injury. He probably won't play at all next year.
Did you read his Instagram post about it? Like, you just tell he was crushed.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, your whole career flashes before your eyes. There's no guarantees there, and you know it in an instant, right? I personally don't know from experience, don't ever want to. I really hope that I don't have to. I don't really play that much of a physical sport anymore. But this Oklahoma City Thunder team, SGA is there, right? He's realizing his full potential. Can he be better? Yeah, he can be a little bit better. He can be a little more consistent. He could be a little bit better. He can get a little bit more physically grown into his body as well. Not a lot, because that's not who he is. But you talk about guys like Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Joe and Dort and Williams, I think. These guys are yet to even start to realize their A potential. They're just realizing their B potential. They're just becoming a – Jalen Williams just became a B+. Getting the Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan comparisons for this team. So, wow, it's scary how good this team could be. We could be looking at the next team to win multiple championships, two out of three or three out of five or something like that in this decade. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting. Everybody else is catching up and realizing that it's not just a team with unbelievable talent that can score. It's a team that's young and likes playing defense, and that's fucking scary.
Oh yeah, they were so they reveled in their defensive prowess. Like, it was crazy awesome how good they were. Here's the other thing that's crazy. So you win the championship, you win the finals, and then you head into draft day, and you have multiple first round draft picks?
Two first round draft picks
to be able to play with.
24th.
How fair is that?
Yeah, 24th pick. They took Nick Clifford out of Colorado State. It's a wingman, 6'5", 200 pounds. And then they had even better pick than that, actually. They went pick 15th. They took Thomas Sorber, the big man out of Georgetown. So, yeah, you're just – and they have more draft – they have four more first-round – no, they have five more first-round picks in the next 2 years. This is all from the possible worst trade in history when the Clippers traded SGA and, like, six first-rounders for Paul George.
It's not fair. Meanwhile, my Chicago Bulls, who I don't follow very strong anyway, thank God, continue to enjoy picking 12.
But you guys playing got
the play-in game.
Yeah, you got Noah Esengue out of France.
Oh, yeah. So excited.
Tall wingman. I don't know much about him. The guys I am excited.
He's an upside guy. He's a developmental guy, because that's what we needed. You know, go Bulls. Who are you excited to see?
I think the top of this draft is going to prove to be one of the better drafts ever.
Cooper Flagg is awesome.
Just look at the first five guys that got picked. Like, we know, barring injury, Cooper Flagg is going to be really good. Jason Kidd is already talking about having him play some point guard, which is, there's Jason Kidd. Let me get this talented big guy and make him play point guard. See Giannis Antetokounmpo. Dylan Harper, that's Ron Harper's son, by the way. This kid is had a great college career. He's ready to go. VJ Edgecombe, this guy can get to the hoop like nothing else. Add him to possibly a healthy Embiid. That's crazy. Ace Bailey, this kid is This kid's going to win a scoring title someday. I'll tell you that right now. That's how good of a scorer I believe in him.
Maybe. Here's why I don't believe in him. Because for every great game he had over at Rutgers, that dude was a fucking turd sandwich a few times. Like, he has got to learn how to make better decisions.
He will.
On the court.
He will. He's going to find
out. And is Utah the place to do it?
I think it is, because he's not going to go into Utah and they're not going to just give him 25 shots a game. He's going to have to earn it and show that he can play in a system and become that kind of player I expect him to be while being a better teammate, let's say, or part of the team, right? But here's who I'm most excited about. Milwaukee's own Con Knipple. I played against his dad and uncles in 3-on-3 tournaments around here, open gyms. This family is like a legendary Wisconsin sports family. And when you watch the draft and see that he's got four more brothers, two of which are already taller than him, that are like supposed to be really good, do you know how many Knipples we could have running around the NBA in like nine years?
That's a lot of Knipples.
I'm excited for Con. I think Con truly showed why he should be picked in the top four when Flag went out and he took over in the ACC tournament. So I'm expecting big
things. He played really well.
It's a guy I wish Milwaukee could have had some capital to trade for, but we have none, and our future is very interestingly bad.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny, I hate how people look at some of the how caps and protected draft picks, unprotected draft picks, who's got what. Like, that's the other thing about the Bulls, is the Bulls never seem to be able to do anything other than be stuck at where they are, and that's how you end up picking 12th and trying to figure out who you're going to stick around, and you get, like you said, Noah Sengway. I can't not talk about my two University of Illinois guys getting drafted.
Go ahead, because I'm going to go to the Wisconsin.
20 and 21.
I'm going to go to the Wisconsin side after that. Go ahead. Because we're in the second round. You guys are in the first
round. Tanjay got drafted. Was it just Tanjay or did another one? I can't remember.
I'll surprise you when you're done.
But the first one was Kasper Siakoumidis, point guard. He was one and done. Both of these guys were one and done for Illinois. And it's an interesting tale of two guys. So Kasper Siakoumidis, like, he started the season like fucking gangbusters and was really, like, averaging 17, 18 points a game, wasn't turning the ball over very much, averaging like 6 assists a game, gets hurt. And after his injury, he has a couple of big games here or there, becomes really, really erratic. Teams start adjusting to him defensively, and he really struggled to really find his footing after coming back from injury. And from what I understand in reports, he slipped in workouts as well, because his draft stock slipped in workouts. He worked out for some teams that didn't have a great workout, particularly around the shooting. Sounds like his shooting from range was inconsistent, was not very good. And so he was, in a lot of mock drafts, you know, could go as early as 8, and a lot of plays topped out at 14, and he drops to 20 to the Heat, where he gets to play for Eric Spoelstra, which there are worse places to go and be coached. Eric Spoelstra is a hell of a coach. He's really, really good. There's guys around Kasperus that I think will offset some of the struggles that he dealt with, especially with his turnover rate, forcing things to guys that, you know, passes that just weren't there. And, you know, some coaching being in a good spot like that, like Miami, could be a silver lining for a guy who had hoped to go around 11 and didn't. When Agar Demon got picked ahead of him, it kind of set off some bells, because then it was about, when does a team that needs a guard, when are they going to pick him up? And you follow that with Will Riley who was kind of the opposite of Casper, and that Will was literally a liability at times in the first half of the season as a freshman. He reclassed to come and play for Illinois. He could have stayed in school, chose not to, was being mocked for a long time in the second round. There was a big argument for him to come back and take the NIL money and develop. He then goes on a heater in the second half that really started with Illinois's game at Michigan State. You just see the confidence grow in the kid. He became somebody who could score at all three levels. Very good at being very patient with his dribble and his body and getting into the lane and getting to the rim, but then also showing that he could go out and shoot it from distance. And he worked out extraordinarily, really, really well. And the word coming out of workouts and interviews was that he was climbing. And sure enough, he gets drafted at 21, goes to our good friend David Ungar's Washington Wizards after all the trades are said and done. And, you know, Dave messaged me Monday. It was like, well, okay, am I going to like Will Riley? And I was like, I think he needs time. I think he needs a couple of years in the G League to develop. The G League or sitting deep on a bench because you're first round pick. So who knows how long you're, but he needs to add strength. And I think that's the big thing is he's got to add strength to see if his body can hold up. And his defense is a question. He's not been a plus defender so far in college, but happy for both of the Illinois guys. Happier that Casper's situation over Washington, where they have a lot of other wings, a lot of other developmental wings. So it'll be interesting to see who shakes out of that group and whether Will Riley is the guy who does it.
It's crazy. You guys went back to back. So if you're an Illinois fan watching the draft, you know, and you're like, God damn, I just want these guys to get picked. Boom, boom. There it happens for you. You don't have to wait around anymore. So that's kind of fun for Illinois fans. I think they're both going to be solid contributing players. Like you said.
I don't think any of them are going to be Hall of Famers or anything, but yeah.
But Casper is going to the Heat is a pretty nice place to start your career, especially since the way they play that positionless basketball, you know, he can handle the ball. He can probably guard the two. He's 6'5", right? 200 pounds. So,
yeah.
Let me talk about the second round a little bit. One of my favorite second round picks is John I. Broom to Philly. Yeah, I think he's going to pan out to be something there.
I hope so. He's 30.
And then I really like the Bucks. The Bucks only pick of the draft, Bogo Markovic. The kid just seems like he's ready to like go to work, and that's someone we need. We need a young guy that can develop into like a six man of the year / 15 to 20 point scorer over the next two seasons, because we need young guys to deliver. Otherwise, these Bucks aren't going to be very good. But now you want to talk about Wisconsin and Marquette basketball. Cam Jones drafted 38th. Indiana trades with the Spurs to get this guy. I'm guessing he's going to see some of the minutes that they're going to be missing from Halliburton next year, because it's a big physical guard that can rebound, make plays. Same thing with John Tanjay. I was hoping the Bucks would take Tanjay. He went a few picks later to Utah. So we'll see. They get a good rebounding guard who can score at all three levels there. Tanjay just kept getting better everywhere he went in college. So it's a fun draft. I think it's going to be a look back and be one of the better drafts in NBA history when we check it out 5-6 years from now.
Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. Okay, two other things real quick I wanted to talk about. Schools that don't see players get drafted very often. First, very last pick of the first round, Yannick Kohner-Niederhauser out of Penn State. Dude is a shot-blocking machine. What's crazy about him is he's still learning the game. And you know, he's come very, very far. He's going to be playing for the Clippers, and just a good, you know, Penn State doesn't get a lot of good news when it comes to basketball. And so for them to get their, I think it's their first ever first round draft pick in history, or it's been a really long time.
I think it's been a long time for them. I remember somebody getting drafted first round about a decade ago.
But that's a big deal. And then a guy that I love, again, an Illinois fan, we're programmed to act like we hate Northwestern, but Brooks Barnheiser, who I think it, where is he going? Is he going to the Thunder? Is that right?
Second round or first round?
Anyway, second rounder, 44. Yeah, so he's going to OKC. Brooks Barnheiser was just a tough as nails small forward that could score and literally played himself out of a season, just injured to death. And his last game that he played was against Illinois in his collegiate career. And I remember feeling so bad for this kid because he really is everything that you hear about. He signed on with Northwestern, played for Chris Collins, and was a four-year guy, gave everything to that program, sees his career cut short by injury, and to see him get drafted, to see that he was able to get worked out. And, who knows what his career is going to be, but he's a dog. Man, like, he is just a dog on the court. He defends really hard. He is not afraid of anybody. And I really hope he does well. And, next year, Northwestern could have another one coming. And the guy's name is eluding me. But just good for Northwestern. Good for Penn State. I'm happy to see those guys get drafted. I'm a Big Ten guy. I like to see Big Ten guys succeed. So,
I'm a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, I know. And a Big East guy and just a sports guy.
I'm not really. I'm just a Big Ten guy and a Marquette guy. Marquette changes conferences, and the conference they're in changes so fucking much, and they only play basketball. So
that's fair.
I am not a Big East guy.
So I meant to ask.
Yeah.
What? Just real quick. How are you feeling about your Badgers in college football this year? Do you think Fickell's got it figured out?
No. God, no. Nope. We need to find the next Barry Alvarez because this ain't cutting it. We need to find someone that is just not really nobody knows about, who comes in and just is the guy that can come in and, Nick Saban was nobody before he was Nick Saban, right?
Right. Well, and I love your Alvarez comparison because before Barry Alvarez takes over Wisconsin football.
Worst program.
Wisconsin was you checkmarked a W. If
the worst
you were
Big
anywhere.
Ten football check, program by far.
It was in the tank. And then all of a sudden Wisconsin was good and nobody could figure it out forever. And they just, those corn fed linemen running, tough running backs.
It's the
tight
thing
ends.
Is,
defense.
Yeah, it's they controlled the line. They controlled the line, right. And they got skilled cornerbacks and running backs. That's what they did. Could never throw the fucking ball. Never had a very good quarterback.
He didn't need to, though.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching, and I can't remember if, was Ron Dayne under Alvarez or was he Bielema? Dayne was Alvarez. Watching Ron Dayne just run over everybody was annoying. He couldn't tackle him. Couldn't tackle him. His legs were like fucking tree trunks. He'd run over you. Couldn't stop him. If there was a linebacker in the hole, Ron Dayne usually won. And it just kept going that way. It was very best. I'm just really interested in what the Big Ten is going to be this year. Once you get past Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon. Is Michigan going to make a bounce back?
I don't even want to have this conversation anymore because I forgot that Oregon is in the Big Ten. Like, it's so fucking dumb. Like, I don't. Like,
it doesn't make sense. It makes sense.
I'm out. I'll come back and talk to you when they pick the playoff. College football pisses me off.
Fair enough. All right, Les, we're not going to go into a deep dive on MLB right now, but let's talk about the NL Central since we're both NL Central guys. Chicago Cubs still sitting in first place. We talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah, they're good. There's not much else to say, right?
They're good. They're good, and they just got Imanaga back from the DL. He shut the Cardinals out. Cardinals and the Cubs played a series in Busch Stadium Monday through Thursday. It was a 4-game series. They split. Cardinals won the first two games. Cubs shut the Cardinals out the next two games. And Milwaukee's they're in second place. They're in the wild card. They're just doing their thing. You wanted to wax poetic about a young pitcher, so I'm going to let you do that. I am just happy in so many ways that the Cardinals are even in the fucking conversation, because this was, I'm happy, but I'm sad. And the reason I'm sad is because this was supposed to be the year where everybody was going to be very comfortable with the management, especially at the general manager position, John Mozeliak stepping down. And yet here the Cardinals are, you know, they're three and a half games back of the Cubs. They're trying to keep pace with Milwaukee. And I would not think that the Cardinals would have been 8 games over .500 this season. I thought they would be with Pittsburgh at 34-50. Like, that was what we were told was going to happen. So I'm happy. What annoys me is the guy that got us into where we are just basking in mediocrity is taking a fucking victory lap right now as if he did something, and he didn't. And I hate it. So that's it. I love my team, but I hate their management. Go Cardinals.
I mean, the Brewers.
Oh, the Reds are over .500. How about them? Look at them.
Gary Francona is a very good baseball manager.
He's a good coach.
They got a lot of talent there. The Brewers, they just started hitting the ball, right? Like, Yelich has raised his batting average 80 points in the last month for the season. Caleb Durbin has come on strong and shown that he can play. Churio's delivering as one of the best young players in baseball. You talk about Sal Frelick hitting around .300 right now, really taking over that leadoff spot. And then Bryce Terang continues to be a really good middle infielder and an offensive threat. But think about the fact that Woodruff is still going to come back at some point. Ortiz just got back, which helps their depth there in the infield. And now you got a guy like Jason Mizrowski who comes in and is the only player since 1901 to throw for 16 or more innings in his first three starts and only give up 3 hits. And he hasn't given up a run yet. It's the greatest start in Major League Baseball history for a starting pitcher.
When the Cardinals were the team that everybody loved to hate, one of the things that they used to do is they would bring a dude up and people would be like, where'd this guy come from? And that's what's happening in Milwaukee right now.
They've done it 2 years in a row now.
Right.
Last year,
the fuck is this guy?
Last year it was, they gave Churio $80 million and he hasn't played an inning yet? Yep, we did. And look at him now. He was, the youngest 30-30 guy or 20-20 guy last year or whatever. And then, look at Mizrowski. His swing and miss rate against batters is stupid. But when you throw 102, half a dozen times a game, and you also have the fastest off-speed pitch, which is a 94-mile-an-hour slider, it's 94, and it's running away from you, too, by the way. So, yeah, it's fun to be a Brewer fan right now, and I hope that we can just stay healthy. So, thanks for having me on today.
And I hope the DNL...
It's been a great time.
Right, I hope the NL Central race stays close. And as Tony is alluding to, we are up on time. So... we're going to get out of here really quick. Sonny, remind everybody where they can listen to you.
Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. Follow me at PC Tony.
You can follow me, of course, over on all of your social media platforms at Wrestling Realist, at WrestlingRealist. And you can hear me Mondays, Tuesdays, and occasional Wednesdays on the Chairshot Radio Network talking nerdy stuff, sports, and sometimes wrestling. It's probably why I went 2-4 this week on our prediction show, or 2-3 or whatever it was. I sucked. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next week on Four Corners Podcast. It's been a lot of fun. And go Cardinals, I guess.
Go Brewers.
Hate them. Woo.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.